Hi, my name is Sydney, and I'm so excited today to talk about anime all over again. I just love talking about anime, and I'm so glad that I could do it for the second month in a row.
Okay, so my name is Caroline, also known as Sunshine and Gunpowder on AO3. I am a 25-year-old medical doctor from Brazil.
Wow.
But I do write mostly anime, fan fiction. Well, right now, I mean, in my new account. And I'm really excited to be here. I'm actually really nervous, too.
Oh, my God. No, don't. We're all friends here.
I'm a long-time listener, actually.
That's so fun. But yes, today, as I said before, we are back in the land of anime. The author that I have to talk with us today has written Haikyuu, Spy X Family, which is a fan favorite, it seems like, to a lot of people right now, you know, with the anime and the manga coming out, and Toilet Bound Hanako-kun, which is very interesting. I have never watched the show personally, so I was hoping
you could
talk a little bit about that. I know.
Sorry to interrupt, but you
no,
should.
Absolutely okay. Not. So we have animes from far reaches. We have Slice of Life. We have Kind of Horror with Toilet Bound Hanako-kun. And a little romance with Spy X Family. She is the author of Past the Point of No Return, Feelings Are Fatal, and The Plant That Never Blooms. Welcome, Caroline, or as she's better known, Sunshine and Gunpowder.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here.
I'm really excited to, you know, and I'm really honored to be here.
Oh my God, of course. We've been talking a bit, but I actually did not know that you were like a doctor or...
I am actually. I graduated med school actually last year, so I was mostly a med student. Yeah, thank you. I was a med student when I wrote most of the fanfiction you just called out, but now I'm officially a medical doctor.
Yeah,
and I am in fact writing. I'm actually finishing up a new Spy X Family or Spy Family. I don't know, fanfiction.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know if it's Spy X Family or Spy Family. I personally call it Spy X Family. I don't know if it falls in the same line of like Hunter Hunter where you
I do call it just X. Yeah, I think the original author removes the X.
Okay.
But I usually just call it Spy Family because in Portuguese you don't say like X, you say cheese.
Yeah.
And it would be like Spy X Family, or you know, you go back to English and you say, I thought Fulano do Spy X Family, and it sounds more wrong.
Yes, yeah.
So I usually just cut the X.
Okay. But yeah, that was a bit of information that I didn't know about you, but I always find it I find it so fascinating and so fun that it's just like I can look around at so many people, like so many strangers, and they could literally be like doctors, lawyers, engineers, and I'm like, you also write fan fiction in your free time, and I think that's so fun.
I do think it's a bit uncommon in the medical field, I guess.
Okay.
Because I do believe that there's a little bit of like sort of a reputation that medical doctors like receive, where we're supposed to be like serious in our personal lives as well. But I don't know. Also, I am studying residency for psychiatry. So in psychiatry, people are like more okay with this stuff.
Right.
But if it was like surgery or something like that, maybe I would get like a side eye or something.
Right. No, I think that makes sense. I believe the last guest we had on, she was also in the medical field. So it seems very fun to me that like I've had like back-to-back medical field / secret fanfiction author personalities on the
my
podcast.
Alter ego.
Yeah, right? So yeah, I find that so fun where especially like a lot of the people who we have on the podcast as guests, you know, they're older, they've graduated college, you know, they have lives and they're like, oh yeah, you know, just in my day job, I do like this thing. And you're just like that. I would have never assumed that such like a creative person would have like a very scientific or like numbers based job.
Yeah, I do believe that because I think, you know, writing fan fiction is such a like creative process.
Yeah.
That usually when you see something like really creative and you see someone create like art or something, you're just like, oh, that's probably what they do in their day job as well. Yeah. I think that's like a natural reaction.
Is it kind of almost an escape from the very scientific, medical based, where like there's a lot of facts that you have to follow and it's, you know, a kind of reprieve to jump into a very creative hobby?
I do believe so, yes. Also, because, you know, fan fiction in itself is like an escape, like, period, you know?
Yeah.
So the medical field isn't exactly like the happiest place to
right.
work on sometimes. So I think that as well might, you know, contribute to the whole escapism of
right.
writing fan fiction. Right. Fun fact, I actually, while I was still a med student, there was one time where I was on call and I wrote a piece of Feelings Are Fatal on the notes app on my phone. But I wasn't like attending to anyone.
Right.
I was just like resting.
No,
and I was just like struck by
break.
Something and I wrote it down. Yeah,
absolutely.
Like in the hospital.
You're like, I just need like I'm just taking a quick break. And then you just pull out your phone really quickly.
Exactly. I was just like having a cup of coffee and I wrote an entire scene.
Yes, that's so
fun. And then
I
went back to work.
Yes, okay. Sorry to like, we immediately had a side tangent, but I was just like, I need to talk about this right now. But to get into the episode officially, I will say, quote unquote, tell me a little bit about your relationship with fan fiction, how you found it and how you started reading and writing it.
Okay, so I think I started reading fan fiction when I was, I think, 10 or 11.
Okay.
It was mostly Harry Potter like rare pairings on
okay.
fanfiction.net. I don't vibe with Harry Potter anymore.
Sure.
Because you know, probably know why. For reasons.
Yeah.
But I used to read it like all the time, and in my household we only have one computer.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to like wait for my parents and siblings to go to sleep, and then I
okay.
turn on the computer and I'm
yes.
just like read fan fiction throughout the night. I wrote my first ever fan fiction when I was, I think, 12 or 13.
Okay.
And it was like a super rare pairing from Harry Potter. It was like
mm-hmm.
Oliver Wood and Fred Weasley.
Okay.
Like these two did not like interchange dialogue.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wrote this like super rare pairing,
mm-hmm.
and I did have a fanfiction.net account back then.
Of course, we all did.
Yeah, exactly. That in a fit of like, not rage, but like shame, I guess, when I turned 16,
mm-hmm.
I deleted everything. I had like
okay.
20 plus works
yeah.
that I just deleted from the face of the earth. And then I got to medical school, and I think it was like, 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
a year ago, maybe, I read this fan fiction, which just like, I was just like, oh god, this is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, oh god, this is so beautiful. And I was just like, I'm not gonna post anything, but I'm just gonna like try and recreate the feeling that this fan fiction gave me.
Right.
And I wrote like a simple little one shot. And I didn't post it. And
mm-hmm.
it was actually Toilet Bound Hanako-kun that I eventually posted.
Yeah.
But I just held on to that fan fiction for so long. One day I was talking to my friends and was just like, because I used to write fan fiction and whatever. And somebody asked me like, why don't you anymore? And I was just like, oh, I don't know. I think I outgrew it or something.
Yeah.
And they were just like, oh, so you don't read it anymore. And I was just like, no, I actually like read it all the time.
Huh?
You're just like, so why don't I post it? Why do I keep lying
mm-hmm.
about the fact that I just wrote like an entire fanfiction?
Right.
She was just like, okay, I'm gonna create like an Echo3 account and I'm just gonna post something
mm-hmm.
else actually. So I did, and then I got a few responses and it was just so good. But I was always really nervous because, you know, English is not my first language.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like on edge until I got like the first comment. and my leg was bouncing. I was just like, oh God, I need to do this again.
Yeah, it's like a high, you know?
Exactly, exactly. And then the Spy Family anime dropped, mm-hmm. and there was just like a huge surge of interest in the anime and the pairings. And I would read some of them, some of the fan fiction on Spy Family, and I was just like, I think I would fix this. I think I would have the dialogue be this. Sort of like the you know that meme that was like, can I curse here? Sorry.
Of course you can. Oh my God.
You know the one. Sorry, I was holding myself back so hard. Okay.
You don't need to do that here.
You know that one that's like, he would not fucking say that. You know?
Yes.
Exactly. So I would read it and I was just like, he would not fucking say that. He would say this. And I was just like, you know, I'm just gonna write it. Just gonna write it and I'm gonna post it and I'm gonna be swallowed because there was like new fan fiction every day for this pairing. It was insane when it came out. I was just like, okay, I'm gonna just throw this into the void.
Yeah.
And then the void consumed it and, you know, gave me back like a lot of kudos and comments and encouraging, you know, words. And it was just like, okay, maybe I could get back into this groove, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think that's like how I started, I guess.
For sure.
I'm doing now.
Yeah. No, I definitely think a majority of people kind of have that lull, I guess, or like that like slump in the fan fiction or fandom world, I guess I should say. I definitely had that between the ages of like late high school, and I don't know if it was just like, this is lame now. I don't want to do this anymore. And then I like got older, and you're right, you're just like, but I do really like it, actually, and it brings me a lot of joy, and maybe I should just, it's cringy, but I'm going to embrace it, and I just don't care what anybody says anymore.
Yes, exactly. I do believe that, I think for the outside world, I guess, there are certain limits to consuming art.
Yeah.
So, how can I explain? Give me a second. Okay, so,
of course.
When you watch a movie, most people think that it's okay for you to like the art inside its limits. So you can like the movie, you can like the characters in it, but if you go beyond that, then that's a little cringe for some people. So if you start consuming fan fiction or fan art, that's already kind of, you know, cringe.
Yeah.
Some people are okay with it, others are not. And then there's like a limit beyond that where you become the person creating the fan work.
Yes.
And I think that that's also like a lot of people are like, just, oh, you can read fan fiction, but like, write it? That's, you know? So I think I was holding myself back because I was just like, okay, I'm just consuming this stuff. That's fine. And when you get past that mentality of, you know, caring about, you know, the limits you're overpassing, I think fan fiction just becomes something so beautiful.
It's absolutely
an expression of love, you know. I do pour my heart out into some of the words I write.
Yes,
it's like that's not. Oh, sorry. You're
no, go. I was just gonna, like, that's the thing is like when you're just a consumer, like it's very easy to just be a consumer, and then like, you know, sometimes like that consumption becomes like hyperfixation, which is like one thing, but like there is something about actually creating, whether it be fan fiction or fan art, that is just all consuming. It like takes over everything. It's like all you want to talk about. It's all you want to like do. It just becomes an all consuming thing that you can't really hide, or like you can't really, it's very difficult to hide because it's like now you're just surrounded by people who don't know a very big portion of you. And it's just like, when am I gonna stop like hiding this very large portion of me, this hobby that I love doing, this skill that I have that, you know, other people enjoy from me? And like, do I just have to keep that to myself?
Yes, exactly. I hid it from like my RL friends for like a long time.
Yeah.
And at first, I did sort of lie. I was just like, oh, I used to write it when I was young. Mm-hmm. I don't do that anymore. Meanwhile, yeah. I had like a 4K Word fan fiction on my on my computer just resting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then it wasn't until very recently, actually, it wasn't until I reached out to you guys and we exchanged emails that it was just like, okay, so, you know, I did write a couple of fan fictions like last year, you know. And it's especially my boyfriend, because I do have a 5-year long partner, and he is just the sweetest. I'm in love with him.
Yeah.
I love him so much. But the fact that I sometimes use my love for him as like inspiration, I was just, I don't know. I was so embarrassed of it.
Sure.
I don't know how to explain it. I was just like, it's such a personal thing that it's almost easier to let it go for strangers to see it than
absolutely.
For the people you're closest to, you know?
Yeah, because it could very much be, you know, that euphoria meme of like, is this play fucking about us? And you're just like, you're suddenly like, you know, introducing parts of your life. But, you know, like that's where the best literature comes from. It's from experiences that the author has had, because it just injects the words with the emotions that like you actually felt. Yeah, but I know exactly what you mean. It takes a lot for me to even tell new people in my life that I have this podcast, because it's just like, oh, like you have this what is it about? And you're just like, oh, well,
it's about entertainment and stuff.
Yeah, it's a comedy podcast where I occasionally talk to people in a certain field.
I do think that writing sometimes unlocks like good things for you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes I can't process my own feelings of, you know, even love and joy. Sometimes I'm just like waiting for something bad to happen, so I don't, you know, enjoy having joy in my life.
For sure.
You know? So I actually wrote the third Spy Family fan fiction. Mm-hmm. One of the chapters is almost like a recreation of what happened with me once. But not like in a self-insert kind of way, but just like the feelings, I think the thoughts from the characters. It was just like my thought process was just there the whole time. And it was a great way for me to, you know, step back and enjoy the fact that I had this really good moment with someone. But to show that to someone is also just like, you know, it's a bit embarrassing. And like that sort of, you know, Parks and Recreation, babe, you had a crush on me. That's so embarrassing kind of way, you know?
Yeah, it's very vulnerable.
Yes, it really is very vulnerable. I'm actually still unsure whether I'm going to like show this episode to everyone.
Yeah.
Just like, not, I mean, some people I do have to show them. They're just so curious about it. But I don't know, because this is really personal. Like, I've known you for like 2 minutes, actually 20 minutes, sorry. I've known you for like 20 minutes, but I'm already like talking to you as if I've known you for a really long time. And some of the people that I talked to for a really long time, I've never told any of this stuff.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's just somehow and like tragically just become one of the things in people's lives that kind of become hidden, and it is really sad, especially when it is just like such a large part and something that you just truly love and enjoy, but you're just like, I don't know if I can tell people because I just don't know how they would take it, and like if they would see me differently or treat me differently or like tease me about it. And it's just like, you know, do you trust the people in your life enough to tell them about it? Like, do you trust that you've created a good enough system around you that you're just like, so jumping into Spy Family, you kind of said before when we were talking about rare pairships and everything, and I wanted to bring up for your Spy X Family, you focus mostly on Anya and Damien, which I'm not going to say it's an uncommon ship, because it's definitely not. It has like over 1,000 fan fictions, which is like not even close to any of like super rare pair ship kind of territory, but it's definitely not as popular as Yor and Lloyd, who are like the two main leads of the show.
So which is a great ship, by the way. Just absolutely. Let me interject that. They are fantastic.
Fantastic, okay. Yes. But what drew you to the two, the side leads?
So I think that for me, it was mostly the potential of it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, with Twilight and Yor, there's sort of a line that you can see just, you know, going straight forward. Like, of course, you can deviate from that line, but they're already older and their dynamic is, you know, it's really deep, but it's really clear. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Damien and Anya, they're kids. Okay, yeah. So they have a clear dynamic. That's not what I'm saying. But what you'll also notice is that my fanfiction, none of it is when they're young.
Yeah.
They're mostly aged up characters. Mm-hmm. Where I usually explore, like, what would happen in, like, 10 plus years with yeah. these guys? Like, what if he actually learns about her powers really early on? Are they still going to be friends? Mm-hmm. Are they still going to tease each other? Or is that love still going to be as intense as it was? And I like to believe that it is, because, you know, of course, it's fan fiction. I can imagine that it is, and it will be. Mm-hmm. But the way I see it, it's like there's so much raw love, like that puppy love, that you can't wait to see it grow into, you know, not passion, but genuine affection and mm-hmm. a established relationship when they're older and they're able to process everything that happens to them when they're young.
You focus a lot on, like, first kiss, first love confession, you know, first love, you know, where they do have that, like, blank page almost, where it's like Lloyd and your story is currently being written right in front of you, but then you have these two characters that you're just like, their story is in my hands now.
Yes, exactly. I like imagining way further beyond, because sometimes also I think it's hard to imagine what will happen, like, instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you watch an episode and you write fan fiction for, like, the next episode, are you going to be a little bit bummed out if things don't play out the way you want them to? I think
sure.
maybe that's something I considered, but it's not the main reason why I write mostly Damien and Anya.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that relationship is also so pure, I think, mm-hmm. that I really don't want to tarnish it. So I imagine, like, what would happen for it not to be tarnished as
yeah.
well. So I do have in my mind, and it's really difficult to stray away from this when I write Damien and Anya.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that they are going to be friends.
Mm-hmm.
That they are still going to tease each other.
Okay.
They're still going to keep a little bit of that childish thing going on, but right. also, like, mixed in with, like, teenage hormones and all that kind of stuff. And I almost always imagine that Damien will eventually figure out his feelings on his own and not necessarily tell Anya when that happens.
Yeah.
Which I do believe, like, it's like a, I don't know. I did have that when I was young. You just, like, oh, I am in love with this person. Okay,
yeah.
I'm just going to keep living my life. I'm not
yeah,
going to do anything about it.
Absolutely. Like, what? Okay, cool. What am I supposed to do about this? I don't know. I'm 15.
Exactly. And I think also because sometimes I like interjecting my own, you know, feelings and, you know, sometimes even stuff that happened to me. A lot of that's actually a side note. Some of the dialogue that Damien and Anya have, I did already have in my boyfriend at some point of another, like, just like a one-liner or a
very
zinger
nice.
Or a small interaction.
Yeah.
And it was just like, yeah, that could work for other pairings, I guess, but when I have such control of how I think the relationship will go,
mm-hmm.
it's easier to just, like, fit those pieces of the puzzle in,
yeah.
I guess.
No, I mean, absolutely. First of all, it makes it more realistic, right? The dialogue more realistic because it, you know, has been said between two people. But I said before, it's not uncommon. There was an author we had on here the first year of our podcast that, like, for a fan fiction that they wrote, used like actual text messages, you know, maybe tweaked a little between them and a friend or them and a partner to put in like a fan fiction. And it was just like, that's just such a smart idea because it makes it more realistic. It makes it more tangible because it's like, these are already real things said by real people.
Yes, exactly. And like I said, most of the thoughts, like there was this one time, God, I'm going to show this episode to my partner, but I kind of hope he doesn't listen because I'm going to be so embarrassed. But there was like this one time where we were sleeping and I he was asleep almost. And I was just, I couldn't sleep for some reason. And he saw that I was awake and he turned around. He said, "I love you." He kissed my cheek and went back to sleep. And I was just like, God, I love this motherfucker so much. So he took my notes app and I started writing. Like, God, I think I went up to like 4 a.m. just writing. And then the next day he was just like, "Did you sleep okay?" And I was just, yeah. Uh-huh. I fell asleep for like 10 plus hours. That's fine. And he couldn't remember he even did that.
Right.
That's... And I was just like, oh, God, do I tell him? Do I not tell him?
No, yeah, it makes it just the best. It just makes it the best. I don't like, that's the thing to me is when it comes to like romance in fan fictions or romance novels, because I love both equally. There is such a thing of just like, how could you get it wrong almost? Or like, how could you make this? It's either like you don't know what like real love is, or just like healthy love, I guess, like a stable healthy love, you know, because I'm not gonna say there's like not any bad romance fan fiction out there, but the, you know, I think we could all name off the top of our heads some really, really poor romance published novels.
Yes.
And it's always just like,
yes, we can.
How is that possible for you to put on a page when it's just like, if you experience real healthy, stable love, it's just everywhere around you. And you can just take those instances and just put them in your stories because that's all we want to read about, you know, just like true, healthy, stable romance.
Yes, I do believe that sometimes you just want to look at a piece of art, be it a novel or, you know, just a fan fiction, and you just want to see a mirror of the good things you have inside of you. And that can be even romantic love, that can be platonic love. I have written scenes from like a friend's point of view, which are inspired by the really good friends I have around me, you know. And this latest fan fiction that I'm currently writing, finishing up actually, it's like a sort of like a beach episode, sort of, where the whole gang goes to the beach. And I was just like, oh God, we had this dynamic when we were young. I'm just trying to recreate it. And it's just like, okay, that might not resonate with everyone. I don't think art is made to, you know, appease everyone, but it doesn't have to happen to you exactly as, you know, you read it, but you're supposed to just feel it. You're supposed to feel that youth, that love. And it doesn't necessarily have to do with the fact that it's based off something that actually happened to me, but it's based off what I think about when I remember something that happened to me,
right.
If that makes sense. Sorry, no, I think I'm rambling.
No, oh my God, this is just a rambling show. It's just tangent after tangent. But no, I know exactly what you mean, where it's like the thing that you write, there was advice that we got from an author one time that was just like, if you're writing smut, it should turn you on, right? And it's the same thing of like romance. If you're writing romance, it should make you giddy. Like if you don't have that feeling, like it, and you're right, it doesn't matter if it happened to you in real life, but it should make you feel the same way that like your partner makes you feel, or that your friends
like
make
that
you feel.
Bouncing of the legs, putting your feet up and giggling.
Just kicking your little feet in the air.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
That's what I want from like people to take from my fan fiction, which is why I personally stray away from like really serious, like, mm-hmm. you know, horror fan fiction or right. major character deaths, just like angst without happy endings. I did write like an angst with a happy ending, like a I did write like a time loop fan fiction where one of the characters kept dying over again. Mm-hmm. And I shit you not, that was like the hardest thing I could write because yeah. I'm not good at, you know, evoking sadness, I think, no. as I'm good with evoking fluff.
Right. I feel the exact same way as you, where it's like angst is not my forte. It is not my expertise. It is not even like a place that I really like to be in. All that often. If I have angst, I need it to be happy. If I'm reading something that has like an angsty part, I will like speed through it until I get yes, to happy part again same. Because I just can't sit in angst. And it's just because it's so like, I don't know if it's not my expertise, but it's just I'm not comfortable in it. Like I'm not comfortable in sadness. I'm not comfortable in angst. It makes me very uncomfortable. There are several things I know that would be so poor for my mental health to like dive into. So I just like back away from it, and I'm totally okay with being, you know, a bubble-headed, romance-loving, a happily ever after stan.
Yes, 1000% yes. I completely agree with you. Like, you know, I do respect that kind of fan fiction so
absolutely
because I know it's so hard to write.
Yes,
but also when I read fan fiction, usually I want to see the happy ending that uh-huh. for the characters that never got a happy ending. Yeah. You know, I want to see that character that died mm-hmm. In a world where he didn't die, and I want to, you know, like we said before, I want to escape. I want to, you know, enjoy this thing as if the bad things hadn't happened.
Yeah, yes.
But yeah, so I do commend those people, but yes. For example, if I see two fan fictions in front of me and one of them is like a breakup fan fiction, I'm picking mm-hmm. the other, you know.
It doesn't matter.
I do not want to deal with that.
Literally,
yeah.
It literally does not matter what the other one is. I just whatever
it
the other one is
extremely well yeah it can be extremely well written.
Yeah,
and the other can just be not. It can just be like, oh, and then they kiss and then they don't. I'm gonna read the
yeah.
kissing and hand-holding.
Yes, yes. Okay, so you have written a lot of fan fiction for a lot of anime. I've mentioned Haikyuu, Spy Family, Toilet Bound Hagakun. What, you know, there's a lot of anime out there, right? What yes. drew you to these specific animes and these fandoms? And has there ever been another one that you've wanted to write for that, like, you didn't get around to or you're thinking of writing in the future? Let it be anime or not.
I do believe that it was first and foremost the characters. I think mm-hmm. These anime in specific, I have actually written more Haikyuu fan fiction back then because I am an OD. I read the manga for uh-huh. like such a long time. But it was mostly just like, it wasn't even ship. It was just like, oh, what would happen if that team went against that team, so but whatever. The thing is, I'm really in love with the characters mm-hmm. that I write fan fiction for, and I'm just interested in their potential. And I think that, for example, the latest fan fiction I actually wrote is from a manga that mostly no one talks about.
Yes,
like it's such a it. I believe there's such like 10 works on AO3 ever for like the whole, actually it's 8, I just
yes,
checked.
Yes,
there
eight.
Are 8 works in the Dandaram manga.
Uh-huh.
But I really want to see, and it's such a ship that's like, it's gonna happen. It's one of those ships, you know. But as it doesn't happen, I want to see what would happen if I took these characters and I put this situation in front of them. Mm. And what would they say? What would they do? What would they react? And I did actually write another fanfiction that I later, I think I orphaned it, for My Hero Academia.
Mm-hmm.
But since I don't really keep up with it, that wasn't the reason why I orphaned it. I'm actually not sure why, if we just had a, like a fit where it was just like, oh, my work is garbage, you know?
Get rid of it all.
Exactly.
You don't have a mother anymore.
Yeah, and I'm not really, for example, for My Hero Academia, I'm not really a fan of where the story is going.
Okay.
But I have such love for the characters.
Yes.
That I had to write something. And for example, in a manga that I really like that just turned into an anime is Chainsaw Man. But mm-hmm. I'm not that interested in just the characters, you know.
Okay.
So I'm not gonna write fan fiction for them. But I'm gonna read the manga and I'm gonna keep up watching. But it's not something I'm passionate to the point of, you know, going through that barrier that we talked before of, like, instead of consuming the fan work, like, creating it.
Yes.
I think there's just, like, a little bit more of obsession for me so that I can cross that limit,
for sure.
You know?
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. I think there are people like you who really get attached to the characters. I think I definitely also get attached to the characters, but I have heard, and I know that there are people too who, like, kind of like Maya, if it has like a mafia crime syndicate, anything about it in the plot line, the world building, she is there for it. Like that is her jam.
I see where she's going with this, and I do respect it. I have it the other way around.
Yes.
Like, if the setting isn't optimal, I can make it optimal. I'm going to create an AU for that.
Yes.
And I'm just going to put them in that specific situation that I can find really good. But I'll take, like, other characters and put
yes.
them in AU. Not in, like, a crossover kind of thing. I don't think that's mm-hmm. my jam exactly. But, like, you know, if I really like, for example, I really like Haikyuu. But this is not true. But I'm not really into the Haikyuu characters, which would never happen. But okay. I would just take, like, I don't know, the My Hero Academia characters and mm-hmm. put them in, like, a volleyball AU.
You
know?
Boys volleyball. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. Like,
yeah.
Bakugo and Midoriya, they're just,
yeah.
like, you know? You know, as Hinata and Tobio, you know?
Yes. So are you, do you like to play in alternate universes, or do you like to play in, like, a canon divergent kind of world?
I think I appreciate alternate universes more.
Okay.
That's not specifically where I go for with my writing, I think. Because I'm, for example, like, Toilet Bound Hanako-kun, part of the ship dynamic, which I think you're not that familiar with, but do you know that there's, like, a ghost in a girl?
Yes, I know, like,
okay.
the basics of the show.
Okay, so I do love the fact that their dynamic is so specific to the context that they're in. But also, when I read for the characters, I love it when they're not, like, constricted and chained to the fact that he is a ghost.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, it's a complicated thing because
mm-hmm.
it's such a good setting. It's a really good setting.
Yeah.
But I think part of the alternate universe that, you know, idea that fascinates me is sort of like that I would love you in any verse, in any
yeah.
Universe
oh,
that I found you in.
So
you know,
good.
I think that's like, that's romance. That
yeah.
that's romance with a capital R.
That's peak
in a period,
romance,
you know?
Baby. Oh, so good.
Exactly. So I think I lean more towards alternate universes. Not really much when I write, because then it's just like, okay, the limits are gone.
Right.
I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah.
I need something to, like, you know, chain me to the
yes.
story. So usually I'll go like, oh, okay, they're in the same setting, but for Damian and Anya, for example, they're in the same setting, but they're older. So it's just like a divergence, I guess.
Yeah.
I am a fan of writing within the context of the original story, but I
mm-hmm.
love reading outside of it. I
yeah.
love it.
Yeah. No, you're so right. The, like, I will love you. And that's, like, that's the reason we read fan fiction, right? Is for the little alternate universes that say that our favorite ship falls in love under any circumstances in any
over universe. And over again.
Over and over and over again. I don't care what any of you bitches say. I'm reading about the two same people kissing in every world, no matter what.
Yes, it's that Brooklyn Nine-Nine episode. That meme that they turned into, which is like, you're reading these same people falling in love over and over again, and it's just like, and I will do it again.
Yes,
bitch.
Yes. I'm going to do it until I die.
Yeah, and you can't do that within the original premise of whatever show or manga or book that you read. Mm-hmm. But going outside of it, it's so delicious.
It's that so
flavor,
good.
You know?
Oh, so scrumdiddlyumptious.
Exactly. It's yes. A little spice that you can add to a fan fiction, I think. But I'm not good at adding that kind of spice into it. I'm not really good at writing alternate universes, I think.
I think it's because when you do an alternate universe, that's where world building has to start. And unless you're like very proficient at that, which is a skill in and of itself, and like there are fanfiction authors, there are traditional authors that are just fucking fantastic at it.
Yes.
But you know, if this is just a hobby, you know, that's kind of what fanfiction is there for, in a sense, is that you want to write and you want to kind of like play with your little characters like they're Barbie dolls in the world that they set in, and you know, that's, I don't want to be creating world building and creating characters. I just want to play in my little dream house and have a good time.
And I'm going to make Barbie kiss Max Steel.
Absolutely. No.
Yeah, she's not going to kiss Ken. She's going to kiss another Barbie, you know? It's kind of like that thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But so, yeah, there's a proficient world building there that some people are just so good at. But if others aren't, that's totally fine, because that's not why we read fan fiction.
Yes, and on like almost the same note of what you said, it's just like writing fan fiction is also so much easier than, for example, creating new characters, because mm-hmm. you already have such a love for the characters that you're reading about that you don't have to go like the extra mile and make people care about
Absolutely.
The characters you're writing, because they're reading fan fiction for a reason. You know, they already love the characters. You're not gonna take like your most hated character and I'm gonna read fan fiction for Mineta, you know. So it's like a shortcut, I think. Maybe
it's definitely a jumping off point. Absolutely.
Yes. That's I think a more appropriate word.
So I have for you now a set of three questions that are kind of our bullet point, like kind of your writing style, and things you like to write questions. So our first one is, when you write, are you a planner or a pantser? Do you just typically plan out a fic before writing, or do you just boots on the ground, immediately start writing, no plan, vibes only?
Oh, vibes only.
Absolutely.
Sure. Like I said before, I have moments where just like, I imagine a scene and I write it out on my phone usually. And then I just like build things from that one scene. That's what mm-hmm. I do. So, for example, that one scene I wrote when I was still in med school. And I was just like, it was just like, it wasn't even a scene properly. It was just like dialogue that I could see these two characters saying. And I was just like, okay, oh, where would that dialogue take place in? Oh, okay, mm-hmm. a library. What would they do afterwards? What happened before? And then I just like build it from there. And sometimes I even mash like two scenes that, you know, I've written, or like a really cool description that I found in my head or something mm-hmm. of like a weird, you know, I don't know, moment, an exchange of looks or something. And I would just like pile on and adapt and mold, I guess. And that becomes a fan fiction.
Absolutely.
Which is the reason why also there was a few comments, actually. There were a few comments that asked me to do like a sequel for one of the fan fictions that I've written.
Okay.
And I've tried so hard to do that, but I couldn't. I think it's because like I can only write when I am... what's the word? Wait, give me a second. You know when stand-up comedians they make things up on the spot. What's the word for
like
that?
Like improvising it?
Yes, improvising. Sorry. Yeah.
No, you're good.
I can only work when I'm improvising.
Yeah. You're like, I need to be like in the moment. I don't sit and like, so what would, it's now or never.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
For example, I did try that to write that one sequel that people kept asking me for. Mm-hmm. And it turned into a completely different thing. Like, completely different. It wasn't, mm-hmm. like, the same bearing at all.
I mean, yeah, also, you shouldn't... No one should be making anything a sequel-wise without a story behind it, right? Like, we've had...
I agree, yeah.
There's so many examples that I can think of people writing sequels or making movie sequels and, like, you had no idea here.
Yes, yes. It's not to say that maybe someday I will look at one of, mm-hmm. these like that I have left and I was just like, maybe I can build it around this.
Yeah.
But
you don't want to force yourself.
Like, yes. And also for me, it's very much like a small burst of energy.
Yeah.
I do have, I think actually most of my fan fictions were written in like sort of like a one take sort of thing. Yeah. Just like I set my ass down and I wrote the entire thing and I posted, right. before I regret it, or otherwise some I'm never gonna post. Mm-hmm. So I just post it and then I keep editing it after I've posted it.
Yeah. Well, so, you do have a lot of one shots comparative. Like I think only one of yours is more than a single chapter.
Yes, actually. That's thanks to my amazing beta called, yeah. Gabby. She helped me out a lot, and I was actually that one I was originally gonna post it as like a two shot,
yeah,
but we talked about it as I wrote like the first chapter. I was just like, this is new for me, I'm gonna write like a multi chapter, mostly because, mm-hmm. it was just like really so long. It was a one chapter fic that I broke into two, and I just said like, oh, that's 1 year earlier or so, mm-hmm. You know, something like that. And Gabby reached out to me and said, oh, I can like help you edit your work if you want. And so I kept adding stuff until it went from like, they were first children and now they're adults. I actually kept adding stuff back. I wrote first the adults thing and then I, mm-hmm. just like went back and added some stuff to,
yeah.
give it a, like a linear sort of, you know, sure. storytelling. That was mostly just the planets aligned, so course. That I would make it like a multi-chapter fic. Otherwise, it would be a one-shot. That's,
sure.
I like being one and done with things, yeah. I think.
No, I think that's totally fair. One-shots are like, you get very different things out of a one-shot versus like a very long multi-chapter fic. You know, we need our one-shot authors just as much as we need like, like very long. Because sometimes you're just like, I just want like a 3,000 word domestic fic tonight and I can't handle anything else. And like, if we didn't have those, then I would be starving.
Yes. And also, I do believe that for reading fan fiction, I usually favor multi-chapter ones, actually.
Okay.
Which is, you know, a bit hypocritical of me. I don't know. But I enjoy, you know, because I think maybe multi-chapter fics do have a little bit of world building into,
yes,
them,
for sure.
Know? Or at least they develop situations for a longer period of time.
Yeah.
And I'm not really great at that. I know my strengths and I know my weaknesses, I think.
For sure. But also, it's a thing that you don't have to be good at that, right? It's not like to beat yourself up, I guess, to be like, oh, I want to be like them. You're just like, no, I don't really have to be good at that. I'm really good at one-shots and giving people a little beachside secondary episode, and they have a really good time with it, and that's what they come to me for.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that I enjoy writing one-shots, mm-hmm. and I think if it were for me to write like really long multi-chapter fics, maybe I wouldn't enjoy it as much.
Sure.
Because like I said, I work with like small bursts of energy,
yeah.
and I go from there and I improvise a lot. So I don't think it's that big of a deal that I can't do it, but I know that I cannot do really long fan fiction, because also I think that if I take too long to do something, I'm never gonna post it.
Fair. That's totally fair. Absolutely.
I get like really I don't know. I guess especially in
terms of a multi-chapter where it's like, man, it's been a really long time since I've updated and everyone probably hates me now and I'm so sorry and you've probably forgotten all about me. Oh my God. I feel so bad. I'm so guilty.
That, you know, for example, that one multi-chapter fic that I did write, like I had most of it planned out and I only tweaked it mostly and wrote like a few more scenes. But it was supposed to be like going throughout the years, 2-chapter fanfic at most.
Yeah.
But then I kept adding some stuff and I opened it up to like 5 chapters, I think.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I had most of it done. Wanted to just like post everything in a day, I could. So maybe that makes me a planner, actually. I don't know. I don't think I would be able to release it if I didn't have like everything planned out, you know.
Sure. Well, maybe, you know, that could be, both statements can be true, right? Where it's like, if you're writing a multi-chapter, you're a planner, but if it's a one shot, you're just vibes only, pantsing the whole way down.
I'm a vibes only planner, maybe.
Yeah. I love that. That's such a good distinction. And then we have our two-sided coin question. So we have our, is there a trope that you have yet, a trope or AU, I'll say, that you have yet to try your hand at that you really want to? And then is there something in fanfiction, a trope, an AU, that you would never touch with a 10-foot pole?
God. I think that one of my favorite tropes, actually, and that's going to sound very basic of me, but it's fake dating AU.
Oh, I love a good fake dating.
My absolute favorite. And I think it's so that good. Yes, I think that because it's my absolute favorite, I haven't been able to like do it justice.
Uh-huh.
So I'm holding on to that. Maybe someday I will try my hand at it. But since it's like my absolute favorite.
Yeah.
But
so good. It's so good.
It's also really hard to perfect, I think.
I think so too. And I think that like, well, you know, again, we've talked about fan fiction. I'll eat just about anything. It doesn't matter if it's the same story over and over and over again. But I understand what you mean, where it's like my favorite trope, my favorite AU is Soulmates AU.
I love that.
It's my favorite. But and I would read any Soulmates. It doesn't matter if it's the same story. It doesn't matter if it's the same Soulmate thing over and over and over again. But to me, to write a Soulmates AU, it needs to be unique. It needs to be something different. It needs to be something new. Because that's just like, I'm setting myself up for a higher standard for some reason. But no, I know what you mean. But fake dating is just so, it's so good. It's one of the things where like in traditionally published books, I know some people who don't read fan fiction are not a fan of it, but I love that like some books are being marketed with like fan fiction tropes tags almost. So if it's like, here's this book, it has fake dating, I'm like, sign me up. I'm reading this book right this second.
I gotta say, I'm not that big of a fan of like the TikTokification of published books.
Yeah.
I do have to give that disclaimer. But for example, when a friend of mine is like recommending me a book and they say like there's fake dating involved in it, I'm just like, oh, fuck, give it to me. Give it to me right now. I need to read that. And I'm just like, oh, God damn it, Carol. I'm just like, oh, keep your, God damn it. I'm just like, I'm not falling for just tropes. And then I fall for just tropes.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's your favorite. It's like, who is to blame you?
Yeah. I am also a really big fan of Soulmates AU.
Mm-hmm.
But since it's like, I don't think there's a tier above S tier for me. A tier above S tier would be fake dating AU because it's the one for me. But in an S tier as well would be Soulmates AU.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the reason why I wrote like my comeback fanfiction, which is a Soulmate AU, where the world is black and white until you see the person, your soulmate, you're destined to be with.
I don't know who created that for the first time, but I want to kiss them on the mouth. Like, it is just such a good idea.
That is also romance with a capital R and a period after it. It's such a beautiful idea. And I don't know how aware you are about Toilet Bound Hanako-kun, but there's a little bit of time traveling involved.
Okay.
With it. Okay, so just a little bit, really small. But, you know, since one of the characters is older than the other because he's a ghost,
sure.
You know, he's just like, there's this whole time traveling thing where they see color at different times.
Okay.
And it's just like, okay, how would that work for these characters? And I was just like, I don't know. I think they would do like this and that. And I was just like, okay, maybe, but I'm not going to find anyone to write about these two specific characters and these specific, you know, situation. So I just wrote And Also My Love because of that, which is the title of the fic, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I had to write And Also My Love because I was just like, I was so intrigued by how that would work in a world of ghosts and time traveling. I love Soulmate AU. I love it.
So for the other half of that question, what is a trope or an AU that you would never write ever?
God, never ever.
Never
a few,
ever.
Actually, I would never touch incest ever.
Okay, so, that's fair.
I am sorry if anyone is into that. I wouldn't ever. If it's even minorly tagged, mm-hmm. or for example, there are a few tropes where it's like, are they siblings? I'm just like, no, that's a big no for me.
Yeah.
Like,
totally fair, totally valid.
Yeah, there are really good stories where that is a major plot point. But if that's involved, I cannot ship the characters, you know?
Yeah. Which is very landminey almost in anime.
yes. Yeah. There are a few animes where I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole because they dove into that whole thing.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, that's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that is actually an important trope in some anime.
Yeah.
That pisses me off a little bit. But I know that, you know, there are people who are into that. I can't really judge them too much, mm-hmm. but I do a little bit. So I would not touch incest with the 10-foot pole.
Sure.
I think it's, not for me.
Totally fair.
And
totally
also,
fair.
On like a lighter note, I think, mm-hmm. which is like a really common trope, is breakup fix.
Okay.
I think we talked about that. I'm not a fan of breakup or cheating fan mm-hmm. fiction. I don't like that at all.
Needs to have a happily ever after.
Exactly. It needs to. I have read a few that were like they broke up but they're still very much in love.
Yeah.
That's a bit
like
different
a second chance romance almost.
Exactly. I can vibe with that. I can very much vibe with that. But
a breakup never get back together? No,
yes.
Thank you.
They had an established relationship that was good and then they broke up. What do you mean? You know?
Yes. You're like, that's not my happily ever after.
This is not, sir, this is Wendy's.
Yes. Okay. So we have been speaking via email, obviously, before this. I do with all of my guests. And you have mentioned it in today's episode as well that English is not your first language. I'll say that you have been speaking very well. I know it was a thing that
you
were nervous about. I think that you've done fantastically. There are, you know, a lot of people who write fan fiction that is not in their second language, you being one of them. You know, in your experience, what made you want to write or feel that you had to write fan fiction in English instead of your first language? You know, are there any challenges? What were the challenges? Are there any pros or cons to writing, period, but also writing fan fiction in a second or third language?
Okay, so I have a few theories. I can't really, you know, say for certain because I have written mostly in English because I have written mostly intimate things.
Mm-hmm.
And I do find that it's easier to talk about these intimate things when you're not speaking in your native language.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know if that makes too much sense. I don't know if that's true for everyone.
Right.
But to me, it's easier to say, I am so in love with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to love you until I die, until my body is decomposing on the ground.
Yeah.
And I have nothing left except my love for you. That's mm-hmm. so easy for me to say in English. But to say that in Portuguese, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's almost embarrassing, I think.
Is it, even though it's the same words in English, and I'm just asking because I'm a stupid American who doesn't even speak a second language. I don't speak a second language. English is all I know, so English is all I speak and write in. Is it, even if it's the same words, it's intimate, but intimacy with, like, a barrier, where it's, like, there's a little gap here that is, like, it removes me from the situation a little bit.
Yes, yes, for sure. I think that when I say eu te amo means I love you.
Mm-hmm.
That brings the I to the front.
Yeah. You know?
It's me saying I love you. When I write down I love you instead of eu te amo, I am looking at it from like an objective standpoint. Mm-hmm. But it's also talking about a feeling that is very much true to me. So I think it's easier to inject the feelings I have into the words
mm-hmm.
that are not really the first words I ever, you know, heard.
Right. I think,
if that makes sense. But also, like I said, there's a little bit of shame, I think, for me.
Okay.
If I were to write in Portuguese, because I don't know. I think I wouldn't be able to transform the language as much as I believe I am able to do with mm-hmm. English. What were the rest of the questions? Sorry.
I guess just like, were there any challenges, either like technically wise, or I guess you've kind of mentioned the emotional challenges that you've gone through.
Okay. So obviously grammar.
Yeah.
I am mostly self-taught in English. So sometimes I mess up words.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I use them as they're supposed to work in Portuguese, only like translated the words. I'm really lucky to have people reach out to me and say, oh, this doesn't mean that. I think you meant that way. In a really kind way. So I have not experienced like hate at all.
Right.
But that is sort of like a barrier that I have faced at some points. I do believe that my English is good. I don't think it's bad, but also I don't think it's that good because I do struggle with it.
Yeah.
Like, there was a moment here when I was just like, I have no idea what the word for this is.
So, yeah, I mean, like, to be fair, coming from an English speaker, I also have, like, I've completely forgot, and this is the only language I have ever learned in my entire life. I still can't think of this word to save my life. But it is also really funny because there is, like, the meme, I guess, or, like, the funny joke between the fan fiction communities that's just, like, sorry if this is bad, English isn't my first language, and it's just the most heartbreaking, beautiful thing that anybody has ever read, and it's just, like, what? Like, what the fuck? I don't think I can even do that in my own language.
I have seen that meme. I have read fan fiction where people were just like, the author was, this English is not my first language. And I'm just like, you motherfucker, come
blown
on.
Blown away.
you know? But I don't think I don't believe I'm quite there yet because I do make a lot of mistakes, you know? But something that I thought about as we were talking is also that I think it's a bit easier for me to write in English as well, is because I consume things in English.
Okay.
That's something that I realized as we were talking. Like, for example, even manga, like I know the original script and everything is in Japanese, but mostly the manga that I read are in English.
Okay.
Maybe some of that influencing the way I write, I think.
For sure. I mean, I can understand that. It was like if I remember this fact correctly, there was a lot of, like decades ago, a lot of British musicians, a lot of British singers, they like sang in an American accent because all of their inspirations were American singers.
Yes.
So that is completely understandable.
Yeah. And when I was mostly like 11 and 12 or something, mm-hmm. I did try to consume everything in English as well. Mm-hmm. I wasn't very much good at it, but I did consume it in its original language. Yeah. So when I started writing, I started writing in English as well. Mm-hmm. I think maybe that's because when you're 12, you don't have that much feelings and
sure.
you know, embarrassment. But also what I said is still true, is very hard to say these things in my native language.
For sure. I mean, I was even thinking when we were talking that, like, you know, I think the thing about people who are writing fan fiction, I'll just say, in this exact scenario, in English, which is not their first language, and they're just like, oh, sorry, like, English. I don't think anybody, I mean, like, not assholes, I guess. Like, there's that very small portion of people who would, probably. But I think the majority of people, like, they're not really caring about, like, grammar and punctuation, because even, like, again, English speakers who publish fan fiction are like, no beta, we die like men. Like, it's gonna kind of be bad here and there because I haven't had anyone check this over and it's a first draft kind of thing. But there is something to be said about just, like, how emotions, how we've been talking about this entire time, can transcend, like, language barriers, where it's like, you know, you write in a different language from the ones that you give and you try to put a little bit of barrier, but you still feel those emotions, like, you still feel those things. And I think it's the same thing for English speakers reading fan fiction of people who are like, sorry, English isn't my best, and you're just like, this is the best piece of work I've ever read. Maybe not, it's not even about the grammar or the punctuation or, you know, the anything technical about the work. It is just like the emotion flowing through this is just, it's incredible, and I'm so honored that you decided to put it in English so that my plebeian brain could read it and that I didn't have to just be like, well, I guess I don't know Portuguese, so I'll never be able to know this.
This is actually making me a little emotional.
Yeah.
Because that you put it very beautifully. Thank you.
Yeah.
But I agree. Also, I like that English is, for the most part, an accessible language, I think. Mm-hmm. I have read fan fiction in Portuguese, and mm-hmm. I appreciate them. And sometimes I see a Portuguese written fan fiction, I guess you can say. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, it has like 5 kudos.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, God, if this was in English, this would yep. be an instant favorite.
Oh, you know? Absolutely. Yes,
and
absolutely.
At one point, I did reach out to someone. I was just like, please let me translate your fan fiction. It is so mm-hmm. good. But then they never got back. So sure. I don't know. And I'm not going to do it without, like, permission.
Oh, absolutely.
But also, there have been, like, 2 times where somebody asked me if they could translate my fan fiction. And I think I cried for joy.
Yeah.
When that happened. Once they asked me to translate it to Russian.
Okay.
And that was just crazy for me, dude. Also, a little bit funny because I'm just like, I have fan fiction written in Russian, but I have nothing written in Portuguese. Holy shit. I am not honoring my country enough.
Yeah.
And the other one was, I think, Mandarin.
Okay.
And that was so crazy because, of course, I went after the links that they mm-hmm. gave me. They were just like, oh, here's the translated work if you want the yeah. link. And, of course, I can't read it. But I put it on Google Translate and I read some of the comments. And mm-hmm. one of them was so cute.
Yeah.
It was just like, okay, so past the point of no return, the title is mm-hmm. from a Lorde song, which okay. is Magnets.
Yeah.
Okay. But okay, because I really like the fact that she says, oh, we're dancing past the point of no return.
Yeah.
And I think I even included that line specifically into the fan fiction. But mm-hmm. I read the comment and the person was talking about the title and was just like, wouldn't it be better if you translated this to that? And they were just like, the author who translated my work was just like, oh, actually, the title comes from like a Shakespearean phrase. So I wanted to keep it true to the original. And I was just like, God, that's from a Lorde song. But it's it was so adorable. It was such a delicious experience to read that about your own work, and it's just like, oh god,
thank you.
And the response was just like, oh, okay, fair, you know?
Yeah.
I think that language as a whole is like a really crazy thing, you know? Mm-hmm. Communication as a whole. And maybe I'm talking from like a future psychiatrist point of view, but, you know, we are who we are because of the way we communicate. Sometimes not even with words. You can be mute and still communicate, of course. But, you know, if someone who's talking to you doesn't know your language, the perception you're going to have of that person is going to be completely different, different. So I think that's so crazy. Like, I don't know. I can't explain it. It's a beautiful thing, really. But it's also something that's really nice to sort of like destroy a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, let's not have that barrier. Let me write in English. Let me have one of the most accessible languages in the world. Mm-hmm. And let me just write my feelings into this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I unfortunately have the last three questions sitting in front of me. So the first one is, what is the best writing advice that you have ever come across?
Writing advice. Since, like I said, I'm not really an open person about the fact that I write. Mm-hmm. I haven't personally received any writing advice.
Okay.
But I did like read somewhere, I think it was like a Twitter post or something, and it was just like, write it out. Just write it out. Yeah. If you have a thing and you're just like, that's an interesting thought, write it out. See where it goes. But maybe that's just because I'm like a flying up the seat of my pants
type right.
Yeah, person. But I found that to be very helpful because you will forget it eventually. Mm-hmm. So just write it.
Just write it.
Somewhere you can, you know, read the words back to you. Yeah, that's the best writing advice I have.
Of course.
Also have good playlists. Good Spotify playlists to you know, listen to.
Yes, yes. Those vibes, you know?
Yeah, imagine that scenario while you're, you know?
Yes, yes.
You know, listen to Boy Genius and imagine that, you know? Go for yes, it.
Absolutely. You need that. You need to get in with every sense. Sight, sound. <Yeah. laughs> So we also have a YN's choice. We have a Carolyn's choice of the fix you've written. Which is your favorite and why?
Oh. Okay, I know that's like a mostly simple question, but I haven't really thought of it.
No, totally fine.
Oh god, I think that my favorite to write, I think it was maybe Be Still My Indelible Friend, which is the fan fiction that nobody asked for because there's only like 8 works in the manga, which is Dandaro.
To be fair, you are the top of the charts for that.
Oh yeah,
you have me, like me. You have the most kudos, the most hits.
I'm a hit maker, baby.
Absolutely, a trendsetter.
But yeah, the thing is with that fan fiction was it was so chaotic to write it because I read. I have a friend, a really dear friend of mine. He was just like, you know, Carol, I have the manga that is so you. Mm-hmm. You have to read it. And I was just like, it's a weird thing to listen to just tell somebody to tell you there's something that's so you. You need to consume it.
Yeah.
And then you do and it's true, you know? And I was just like, oh, God, I do. I am perceived by other people, you know?
Yes, exactly.
But I was
read so well. I don't know if I like this or not.
Yeah, exactly. I was read so well. He was so right. So I read the manga. I think it had like 80 chapters when I read it. I read it. We were on Discord talking. It was just like 10 p.m. And I read it from 10 p.m. until it was like 4 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And immediately after that, I wrote the fan fiction.
Nice.
And it's a little bit more like a Groundhog Day kind of thing, which is a really nice setting, I think. It's overplayed of course. Okay. But it's really good. That, like, live, die, and repeat type of stuff, you know. So I wrote that, and it was, like, it's not my favorite. I don't think it's, like, my magnum opus type of stuff. But I wrote it, and I posted it, and I haven't edited it since. And I have read it once. I usually don't read things I write.
Yeah.
But I have read it again, and I was just like, okay, this is fine as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And has never happened to me where I write something and I go back to it and I, like, I hadn't anything to change. And it, that was crazy for me. And that was really fun to write. And also, I was so tired. I was just, I think maybe the reason why it flew so well was because I was so tired. I did not give a shit.
Yeah. Maybe maybe this episode will convince some people to read that manga, and then maybe the manga will get popular.
Please do. There's like there have been like an not really an announcement of an anime, but was just like they're gonna make an anime. When I'm not sure what studio. Don't know.
Yeah.
But there have been like murmurs and rumors that it's gonna become an anime. But it's so good. You should read it. By the way, it's really good. Don't mind the first chapter. The first chapter is weird as fuck.
Okay.
It's not where the story is going, okay?
Okay.
Listen to me. Listen to me. Don't be put off by the first chapter of Dandarang, okay? Okay.
Okay. And then, unfortunately, we have our very last question. So, what is your favorite fic, or the fic that you would recommend the most?
My favorite ever.
Ever, ever.
God, it's a rare pairing. It's a pairing that I didn't even ship until I read the fanfiction. It's called Hiding from the Sun. It's by, I think it's pronounced Lucubus on AO3. And it's a Hinata and Yachi fanfiction.
Okay.
Which is a pairing that I had no idea would work as well as it did. This fanfiction, and the reason it's my favorite is for it's written beautifully, masterfully. Like I wish I could write like that. Mm-hmm. I wish I could read it again, like have my memories wiped and read it again for the first time, because it's like we said, it floods with love. It's transformative. It's something you don't think about and you feel it. And it convinced me to strip these two characters that I had no idea would work as well as they do in this fanfiction. And it convinced me to ship something that's like the highest regard you can have for
right,
me.
Right, absolutely.
And it's so good. It's so, so, so good. I am in love with it. Every now and again, I read it again. And it's a one-shot, so you can consume it easily. I really like Undertow by Coffee on AO3. It's Hanako and Yashiro from Hanako-kun, you know, Toilet Bound Hanako-kun.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also one of those fan fictions that floods with care and love. And it is an alternate universe. So the fun fact about this is that I wasn't really caught up with the manga yet when I read it. I had only seen the anime.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to follow it 100%. And that's why I actually read the manga afterwards.
Okay.
It's so beautiful. It's so well done. It's so, you know, it has like a tight little bow at the end, and it even has like a secondary, like, follow-up sort of fanfiction where, like, there's a chapter that's supposed to have smut in it, but the author had the care to, I find it very careful, you know, to remove it and post it on a secondary fic. So you can, like, you can have the best of both worlds. If you want some smut, you can have it. If you don't want it, then you don't have to. I personally read the excluded chapter, and it was so good. It was so good. Oh, my God. But, yeah, it was, oh, God, it was so well done. So, and I do have another recommendation.
Give it to me.
If I can make it. And That's actually My Hero Academia.
Okay.
It's Bakugo and Todoroki.
Okay.
I call them Bakugo and Todoroki, but I don't know how you're supposed to pronounce it. It's called What Really Matters by, it's Cloud Reed's Fault. And it is a one shot, and there are so many identifying marks in it. And it's graphic. It's rated E.
Okay.
But it's really good. It's also, I think my favorites are the one that like convinced me to ship something, because I didn't ship these two before I read it, and it completely convinced me.
Yeah, like, there's a very high mark for fan fiction that either makes you consume the content that it's about or ship the characters that you were like, fan fiction or fan art. I've definitely started shipping characters based on fan art alone.
For sure. But yeah, I think that. God, these three fan fictions, I go back to them over and over again. Mm-hmm. Especially Hiding from the Sun and Undertow, mostly. But the thing about Undertow is that there's like one specific chapter that I go back to, because it's a pretty long fic, actually. But yeah, they're really good. If you do actually read them, I would be very happy.
Yeah. Well, we will have the links in the show notes, so... easy to find, easy to grade. But yeah, that is the end of our show today. Thank you so much for being here. I had the joy of my life speaking to you. Is there anything that you want to promote at the end? Your AR3, any social media, just anything and everything.
Oh, thank you again for having me. This was such a nice experience. You are so easy to talk to. Thank you much. This was really cool. I have like a smile the entire time. But I don't think I have much to promote. I think my AO3 is Sunshine mm-hmm. _ and _Gunpowder. My Tumblr is all Sunshine and Gunpowder as well. But they're like dashes in between. I don't know how you call them in English.
Yeah, instead of underscores. Yeah.
There's my Tumblr. And I do have like an art Twitter. I don't know if people are really interested in it, because it's mostly Valorant.
Okay.
You know, like the video game.
Yeah.
But it's also Whiskas, which is written WHIKAS _art. So if anybody wants to check it out, that would be really cool too. But
amazing.
Yeah, that's it.
Awesome. Again, well, thank you so much for being here and talking to me. I had such a good time. Thank you for your kind words.
Yay.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Canonically Incorrect. You can follow us on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram and Tumblr. You can send us your fanfiction recommendations, or if you're a fanfiction author that would like to be on our show, email us at canonicallyincorrectpod@gmail.com. If you would like to support us, you can donate a one-time donation at ko-fi.com/canonicallyincorrect. You can subscribe to our Patreon monthly at patreon.com/canonicallyincorrect. Thank you to our Patreons, Autumnal River and Riley C, for your continued support.
Donate to AO3!
And we'll see you guys next time!
Bye! Bye.